Of us, Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Well, it's a blessing to be in the Word of God. This week, didn't know what the Lord would lead us to do. I try to keep my eyes open early because I don't like getting a late start on any sermon prep. I hate that. But I seek the Lord in my personal Bible reading for Sunday school, just so you know kind of how that's working right now for me with this. Until the Lord leads us to a series through a book or through a topic or something right now. Just, Lord, lead me in my personal time with you and, give something there. And so earlier in the week, I thought maybe a psalm, but it just didn't have peace about it. And then I opened up Isaiah. No, I was in a Bible study with one of our people and got to Isaiah 59, and man, it was such a blessing. I thought, well, the Lord's for sure leading here, and then started working on it, and I was excited about the passage, and I think that God's going to lead there soon, but I just didn't have peace about it, you know. And it's kind of one of those things that's hard to explain, but I think you understand. Those of you who try to follow God's guidance in your day-to-day life, you know, there are those times when you want to do something, but you just don't have that peace. Well, that's kind of what's happening there. And then I think it was on Thursday, the 23rd. What day is that? That would have been Friday. So I did my personal time with the Lord on Friday, still not knowing for sure what we're going to do on Sunday school. And this was in my reading. And I knew, this is the one. And I'm like, thanks, Lord. Finally, you know, thank you for your guidance there. Waiting till Friday is a little bit too close for what makes me feel comfortable. But anyway, here we are. I think it'll be just what we need today. I sure needed it. And I'm hopeful that it'll encourage you this morning. The topic, as we read through the text, you can remain seated, but we'll read all 12 verses because we'll be dealing with the whole psalm. The topic, I gave a title to it this: God is closer than you realize. God is closer than you realize. And I said that because I think sometimes he feels further than he is. He feels further from us than he is. So it's good to be reminded that he's closer than you realize. So with that in mind, let's take a look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Really, verse number 2 is a very important qualifier helping us understand the spirit and the motive behind David's prayer here. He understood something. He understood that God is just. He understood that God is a just judge. And it also implies that David recognized his sins, doesn't it? Enter not into judgment. God, I know I deserve it, but Lord, show mercy. It's implied there. Verse 3, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul and hath smitten my life down to the ground, and he hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead." Now there's two things there that I want you to see and we'll study. But number 1, this is coming. He's saying the enemies are coming against me, and he's saying that right after he's admitting or he's acknowledging his sins. So David here is saying, I sinned and I'm feeling oppressed and attacked because of my sins. And so he's not blame shifting. He's not pointing the finger at somebody or is blaming his enemies. He's not saying, God, you're doing this to me. He's saying, I did this, and now this oppression is in my life because of what I've done. And that's such a good spirit, I mean, if we want to get things right, I mean, really, it needs to be starting in our hearts right there. But then he said this at the end. Note this, because you're going to find this as a thread throughout this whole psalm. He said, that have been long dead, as those that have been long dead. So now he's introduced to us this concept of this emotion of feeling dead. He's feeling dead. Okay, so keep that in mind. Look at verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me. Note these next words here. Lest I be like them that go down into the pit. Those that go down into the pit is a reference to a burial. It's those that are being buried. So it's the grave. The pit is the grave. Another reference to death. Go on. Verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me. You know what that word quicken means? It means to make alive. And so we have another reference to death, don't we? It's the third time. He goes on, quicken me, O Lord. For thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring thy soul out of my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Looking forward to what God has for us today. I think it's this. When you feel dead and you need revived, God is closer than you think. He's closer than you realize. Let's have prayer. Father, I pray your blessings today on the word. I pray you'd help our hearts to be, Lord, moved by you and encouraged and touched. And we need you. We need what only you can do in us. So we pray for your help in that way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I think sometimes we feel like David did here. We want to be closer to God. We want to be excited and revived and passioned and flamed for God. Like we said in that message a couple of weeks ago, we want, like Phineas, to have zeal for God. A zeal, like an unquenchable burning passion for God. And we want that. But sometimes we feel like, although that desire is there, we get further and further away. I read this story about a man who got a job for the county, and he was the guy who paints the yellow lines on the highway, you know, and that was his job. What a job, man. I couldn't wait to do that, you know. But it was his first day, and he wanted to show the bosses how, you know, how a hard worker he was. So he painted 10 miles of yellow strip in one day, which was a record. No one had ever done that much. I mean, it was impressive, 10 miles. So the boss would notice, wow, that's amazing, you know. And got a lot of attaboys and pats on the back. Great first day. Day two, 7 miles. So he went down from 10 to 7. And you know, it's still a great number. A little bit above average. The third day, he did 5 miles, which actually is a little below average and significantly lower than day one. So he went from 10 to 7 to 5. And the boss thought, well, you know, he's just having a bad day. He comes in day four, 1 mile. He only did 1 mile of yellow strip. And the boss thought to himself, well, this is a problem. There's something going wrong. So he scheduled a meeting with the worker, pulled him into the office and said, hey, 1 mile, what's going on? And the guy defended it. In his defense, he said, listen, every day I get further and further away from the bucket with the paint in it. So it's just harder and harder because I'm getting further and further from the bucket. I told that story last night to Melissa because she wasn't going to be in here, and I loved that story. And Grant was in there, and he said, Dad, why didn't you just carry the bucket? That's the point. But that's like us. We, on a daily basis, we want to get a lot done for God, and we want to be excited for God, but we're getting further and further away from the source. And you can't have the fire that you need when you're getting further and further away from Christ. And we want it, and we want to do great things, but the further you get from Him, the less effective you are. And I think that's how we are sometimes, how we feel. And definitely, as we approach this passage, that's how David feels. He's overwhelmed. He's sort of oppressed. And here's one thing that I think is absolutely critical to understand. Overcoming and getting that life, that revival back, and having that excitement, putting yourself in a position so that you can have it again, is that you need to recognize what gets us away from God. And David did that. It was his sins. His sin separated him from God. He identified that. Look at verse 2 again. He says, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. So he identified that his sin had separated for him from God. But what did it do? It put him, it buried him in the pit. It caused him to not hear, as he said, the voice of God. He said in verse 8, cause me to hear. You see that? In the last part of verse 7, he says, that go down into the pit, and he's referenced this multiple times. So he's saying, I've went to the grave. I don't hear the voice of God. I want to hear the voice of God. We're talking about somebody who knows God, who's had a relationship with God. And now God has went silent. His whispers are not heard. Sometimes my kids aren't good listeners. And so I have to get their attention not just by saying the words, but actually pulling them to my side and giving them the instructions with their eyes on me. And amazingly enough, sometimes that's not even enough. I could have them looking at me, and I give them the instructions, and they still didn't get it. So what do? Well, I have them repeat it back to me. What did I just say? I have to treat them like they're 3 or 4 years old, you know. But sometimes it's that way with us, with God. I mean, we get so far from Him, and we can't hear His voice, and we want to. It feels like He's so far, and we can't hear His word. Now, does that mean that you're not at church, and you're not reading your Bible, and you're not hearing the word? No, you're here. You're hearing the word. But here's the point. You're not hearing from God. He's not speaking to you. It's as though He's silent. It's as though the fire is going out. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and sometimes, let's be honest about it, lost people can't comprehend this. You know, they want to hear from God, but they don't understand it. So they come to church, and they hear the message, and I say things like in a Bible study, I say, do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear Him? I don't know what you're talking about. And so there's those times when you don't understand what the voice of God is, and it could be that you need to be saved, if that's the case. If it's just intellectual. By the way, my voice is not the voice of God. Although I might be saying the word of God, I'm not God, but He does speak to your heart from His word. And so it might be that you need to be saved, but it might be the other side of that, where you're saved, you would have been like David. You've heard God before, but now you're getting further and further away from the source. And you're not hearing and feeling and sensing the voice and the touch of God like you used to. David understood that. And he would have known that his sins had separated him from God, as Isaiah said. that was the passage we were going to look at today. Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 59. Our sins have separated us from God so that we cannot hear Him. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. David said, I feel dead. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever felt that? I mean, we're alive, right? But we feel dead. When God goes quiet, you feel dead, don't you? When you don't hear God like you want to, you feel dead. And you can relate to David here because that's what he's saying he feels. He feels dead. I don't hear God. I don't sense His voice. I don't sense His presence. And life without God, life without the presence of God, you can feel it. You can try to fulfill yourself in this world, right? I mean, try to replace God and the silence of God with other things, but that only lasts for so long. And that silence is empty, that those empty things of the world aren't satisfying and they just leave you wanting. And so you feel like David eventually, dead. One writer said it like this. He said, thy frowns, speaking of God, thy frowns are worse than death. Frowns meaning, my sins, God, have separated me from you. David was oppressed. He was fainting. He was feeling the attacks of his enemies. You know, and this, I think, as I mentioned earlier, would have been a kind of consequence for his sins. The gloom, the emotional turmoil, but then the attacks that he was feeling around him, a consequence of that sin that he was in, and the deadness of his soul as a consequence of that sin that he was in. And he acknowledged that. He acknowledged his sins were the cause of this oppression. He said that no living man was righteous in the sight of the Lord. He said that in verse number 2. No living man was righteous in the sight of the Lord. One writer said this, if God inquired into our offenses, if God took a magnifying glass, actually, He wouldn't even need that, would He? I mean, maybe just He could keep one eye closed and just sort of peek behind the curtain of our life, and it wouldn't take long before He would find sins, you know. But here's what this writer said. If God inquired into our offenses and proceeded against us according to law, then we would certainly be condemned. Yeah. And our soul does that. Listen, friend, nothing will launch you into a deadness of soul and spirit, and your walk with God and the zeal will vanish, and everything that you desire for God will begin to disappear, and you won't hear the voice of God. Nothing will do that quicker in your life than sins. Sins will do it. We have nothing to offer. We have nothing to remove the full and final consequences of our sins. No man can plead innocency. No man can say, God, I have this righteousness. Bring me into your presence again, or give me a life. We can't do that. And we can't say we haven't sinned. We can't say that we don't deserve a kind of death or a consequence because of our sins. We live like David, and sometimes it launches us into the pit of despair and leads us to a worthless kind of feeling. And this is a really the anguish part of life. I mean, the anguish part of our spiritual life. We feel worthless sometimes because we can't hear God. And sometimes it's that way with us. There was a man who retired, and he said this. He said, and it's a poem, so here's what he said. I get up in the morning and I dust off my wits. I go out, get the paper, and I read the obits. If my name is missing, I know I'm not dead. So I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. He's not dead. That's kind of a dead way to live, isn't it? Sometimes that's how we are. We're in the pit, you know, feeling like our life isn't worth a whole lot right now. And God is silent. And there's a time when that happens, and sometimes it makes itself, really surfaces in our lives when there's turmoil in the home, when there's fighting in the home, fighting between husband, wife, fighting between parents, children, fighting between you know, us and other family. These kinds of fighting and arguments and yelling and threatening and abuse. You know, there are some that go through actual abusive situations. Sneaking around and stealing and manipulating, these kinds of things and more actually are a despair in the home, aren't they? Make you feel a little bit like David, I think, in a sense that there's deadness there. There's anguish there. Sometimes health issues can launch us into this kind of despair. Health issues, wondering, for example, a couple of things about this. Sometimes it's our own health and we wonder, why is this happening to me? And by the way, it's not a bad question to ask God, why are you letting this happen to me? You know, why am I going through this health issue? But sometimes health issues can lead us to despair, can't they? To feel like God is silent. To feel like there's no purpose for this. And God has been quiet to me on this. And there's deadness there. Sometimes it's a loved one's health issue. It's not ours, it's theirs. And we love them and we wonder, why are they sick? Or why have they passed away? And we need or desire an answer to that. You know, there are some times that you ask the question, why, God, did you let this happen? And you're not going to get an answer. God feels quiet and silent. And those times when God feels quiet and silent to us can lead us, as David, into that pit, into that deadness, that dryness, wondering why. And when you don't get that response, it's just death. It feels dead here. You know. Sometimes it's stressful things in home. Finances, not just like the arguing, which is a real bummer in the home, isn't it? When there's fighting and tension in the home. I hate tension in the house. When there's no family, when there's more than one person in there. And if you can fight with yourself, that's pretty, you're pretty gifted. But anyway. If you live with other people, there's going to be tension in the house. But sometimes that stress that comes our way is like a financial problem. You know, like you have these bills that come up and put stress on you, and or stuff in the house breaks down. And it seems like when it rains, it pours sometimes with that, right? Like this breaks. We have this bill, and then this disaster happens. You know, like, what's next? Well, don't say that, because something is right around the corner probably, you know. And we wonder, why is this happening? And sometimes, you know, that really doesn't get us down. Sometimes it rolls off our back. It's not a big deal. Sometimes it just piles up and you're like, I'm really struggling with this. I need some answers here. It actually gets worse when you have all these things pile up and you don't have answers for it. Like, you don't have the money, or you don't have the way to fix it, or you're really inconvenienced. And when God is silent, it can really bring you to despair. And then the pastor says something about tithing and missions. You're like, yes, thank you for that. You know, thanks for that reminder. Although, you know, it's not as though God doesn't want us to have faith in Him in those times, but I'm just saying that these kind of stressful things can lead us to despair, you know. And it's good for us to think through these things, because although we've given some categories and you might not fit in any of these categories, let me give you one more that I know you either are there or you will be there or you've been there. Past, present, future, you're going to deal with this. Deadness, just dead. Like, God, I need to be revived. I am not where I have been before. I'm not where I need to be. God, I need revived. If you can say that, then you might not be able to say, David, I understand what you're going through. Because probably when David says, my enemies attack me, like, he might be actually dodging swords and arrows, like literally. And I'm pretty sure we haven't had to do that, unless you have kids who just got some for their birthday and now they're shooting you, you know. I did get shot in the eye with a Nerf gun once, so that hurt. But it wasn't an arrow. likely we can't relate to David, but it certainly sounds like David can relate to us. And so if that's the case, then there's an answer. A couple of things. One, if you're down or if you're going to be down, then there's an answer for you. That's encouraging. There is a response. There's a grace that'll pour into your life. Praise God for it, man, because we need it. I need it. I'll tell you, this week when I was reading this, I needed this. And I think that often God, for Sunday school anyway, God has led that we would do a lesson that God led me to something I needed. And I have felt a little dead lately, you know. And I needed some revival. And I needed what David needed in some ways. And so maybe you do too. He cried out to God. He cried out to God. I mean, that's a good start, isn't it? Verse 5, look what he said. He said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse. Such a good word. Muse. What is it? It means he noticed. He noticed. What did he notice? On the work of thy hands. So it's as though David, in his despair, walked outside. Perhaps it was the dusk or dawn or maybe the night. And he looked in the stars, in the sky, and observed the heavens. The Bible actually says in a little while that he stretches his hands. Verse 6, right next verse, I stretch forth my hand. So it's as though he's seeing the stars in the heavens and he stretches his hands. He observes the magnificence of God. And he's in awe. He's in awe. Like, I serve the God, the creator of the universe. All-powerful, almighty. Wow. What a place to start for revival. Verse number 7, he said, hear me speedily. Verse number 8, cause me to hear. Verse number 9, deliver me. Verse 10, teach me. Verse 10 also, halfway, he said, lead me. Verse 11, quicken me. And then I love it, verse 12, and of thy mercy. He was completely dependent upon the mercy of God for this revival that he needed. He understood mercy is a result of understanding how much our sins separate us from God. You know mercy, right? Mercy is when God kind of withholds his judgment. Mercy is when you deserve it. And you know it. And our heart is turning. Our attention is being directed to the right place. And God begins to pull back his wrath. He begins to remove his judgment. And mercy then has been given. He was dependent completely on the mercy of God. Isaiah 51:12. You don't have to turn there, but here's what it says. You know what? Let's go ahead and do it. Keep your finger here in Psalm 143. I'm only having you turn to one place, Isaiah 51. So if you'll turn there, and then we'll come right back to our passage. Excuse me. Isaiah 51. We'll read verse 12. And there, say amen. Still a couple of rustling. We'll wait. I want you to see it. Okay, verse 12. Isaiah 51. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass. This is God saying that he will comfort us. And that we don't need to be afraid. Verse 13, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundation of the earth, and hath fear, And here's what he's saying. You feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? What authority? You can go back to Psalm. What authority does the oppressor have? He has no authority. I'm the God who stretched out the heavens. I'm the God who created. I'm the God who comforts and takes care of you. So David, as he calls out to God, understanding the mercy of God, from that pit he cried out and he said, lead me. He said, rescue me. He said, teach me. I need to hear from you. I need to be touched by you. I need, God, I need you to pull me out of this pit. I'm dead. I need you to quicken me. I need you to make me alive. God, I need you to revive me out of this deadness of soul. Even though David had sinned, he knew that revival would come from God and God alone. He knew that the reason he was in the pit was a result of his sins and his separation from God, and maybe even not even knowing it, but one day, every day, getting further and further and further away from God, understanding that and the consequences of it, saying, God, I need you to revive me, my dead spirit. His hope was in the mercy of God. When we're in the pit of despair, our hope is in the mercy of God. Our hope for revival is in the mercy of God. We're guilty, but God is merciful. We're down, but God can pull us out of that pit. We need revival, and God can revive us. When you're down, God can use things in life to encourage you. God can use His Word to touch your heart. He can use music to touch and to pull you out of a pit. The right kind of music. To touch you and to encourage you and to pull you out of a pit. Reminding you that revival comes from Him. Separation comes from sins. I want us to have the ability to identify when we need revival in our soul. When we need what only God can give us, a hope that only God can give us. I want us to be able to identify that. I want you to know how to get it. I want you to know that revival comes from God, but you need to stop telling yourself that you're worthless. To stop telling or thinking that God doesn't love you anymore. To stop considering quitting. To stop saying to yourself, I'll never get over this. God's gone from me. There's no use. To stop thinking that way. So where does it begin? Where does the revival come? Well, I think for us, it's first of all, it's admitting our sins, right? I mean, it begins there. And our sins separate us from God. Isaiah made that clear. It's clear all through the Bible. You know, we step away from God. He doesn't step away from us. James tells us, you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. So if we're not hearing the voice of God, it's because we're not close to Him. You know, there was a young man who said, I couldn't hear the voice of God. He told his pastor that. Pastor, I can't hear the voice of God. And the pastor said something under his breath. And the young man said, I didn't hear what you said. And then he said it again, but the young man didn't hear what he said. He stepped closer. He didn't hear what he said. He didn't hear what he said again. And then he got right next to the pastor, and the pastor whispered, sometimes God whispers. You need to be close to Him so that you can hear it. Sometimes God whispers, but we don't hear Him because we're far from Him. And what separates us from God is our sins. Listen, friends, if you want revival, it's available. God is closer than you realize. He is ready. He is willing. He wants to take the deadness of your soul and revive it and quicken it and give you that zeal and passion that you had and that you desire again. He wants you to have that. But you have to be willing to admit. It starts there. You have to be willing to admit, I don't hear from God, and I'm not on fire for God, because I'm getting far from God. There was a man who was being navigated on a journey by his wife. Dangerous, right? So she said, honey, the thing says you need to turn right. And like most men, he wasn't listening. And he turned left. And she's like, honey, you went the wrong way. I told you to go right. And he said, oh, man, I'm sorry. I should have turned right earlier. By the way, that's monumental if he said I'm sorry to his wife when it comes to navigating. Listen, I know where I'm going, you know. This is a faster way, you know, the opposite way. This is right. He said, honey, I'm sorry. I missed the turn. I don't know where my brain was at. I am so sorry. But then just kept on going. What good is it to say I'm sorry if you just keep on going down the same road you're on? Doesn't get you anywhere closer to where you need to be. Listen, we're far from God because of our sins. We can blame shift, we can point fingers, but the first step of getting revival, getting the zeal and the passion back, the excitement, is admitting our sins have separated us. I'm not where I need to be because I've kind of fallen short in some areas, Lord. And this is between you and God. It's not between you and me, generally speaking. Sometimes we've done some things and got other people involved, and now we need to get it right and stop doing that, you know. But generally, it's between us and God. And you need to get up here, and you know that, maybe not after Sunday school, but you know what I'm saying. You need to get it right with God. You need to get on your knees, and you need to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. But it doesn't end there. If you don't take that repentance and turn it into action, you're not going to get any closer to revival. You're not going to get any closer to God. We gotta repent. We actually need to turn our hearts back to God. David finished the whole psalm off by saying, I'm your servant. He's saying, God, what do you want me to do? I mean, listen, your judgment, I'm deserving of your judgment. I acknowledge that. I'm going to pull down on my knees, and I'm going to tell you, Lord, I'm sorry for this. But what do you want me to do? Because I'm ready to turn and go your direction. And you know what will happen? I mean, this is the grace of God that pours into our life. The grace of God from this, I think from this passage, pours into our life because you can't revive yourself. If deadness is there, I mean, this is a formula, but it's not like an empty formula. It's not like you just do this and it's like drinking the quickening juice, you know? You drink this juice and then you'll be on fire for God. You do these three steps and you'll be on fire for God. It doesn't work like that, does it? So we trust God. We repent and turn our heart to Him, and He will do in you what we cannot do. Revival. Revival. You'll be on fire again. You know what's amazing about this? As I was studying this, I thought, man, he's dead. He's dead. He needs to be quickened. That's us. We're dead sometimes. We need God to revive us. I'm not just talking about like drinking coffee and feeling good, you know, or eating chocolate. By the way, chocolate has caffeine in it. Those of you who I don't drink coffee, do you eat chocolate? Yeah. I act like you don't like caffeine, right? So, or sugar. But that's not revival. Revival isn't feeling good, you know. Revival can only come from God. And this is how you get it. And it's simple. It's just repent. I mean, acknowledge, God, I have deadness, my sin did it, and I want to turn my heart back to you, but I am your servant. And I'm going to direct my attention to you, I want to live for you, I want to, you know, it's like when my kids, one of them punches the other one in the stomach or something, which occasionally happens, unfortunately. Moms and dads, you understand, right? So one of them says, yeah, I'm sorry. Right, yeah, okay. There's a lot of genuine sort of feeling behind that, I'm sorry. You know what really identifies somebody who's I'm sorry? Is whenever they say, I'm sorry, and I don't ever want to do this again. So when you sin and it separates you from God and you want to repent and get it right, then what follows is when you say these words, God, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I know this hurts you. And it's not like I won't sin again, but I don't want to. And when I repent and turn my heart to you, God, I'm saying this. I want to turn. I don't want to keep going down this path. I want to get it right, and I want to stop doing this or start doing whatever I'm not doing. Whatever it is, God. I mean, I'm your servant. And then the flicker will be there. And it'll be God doing it in you. He'll flicker in you. The light, the fire, the passion and zeal, the quickening spirit, the revival. And you don't even have to wait for October when our revival comes to get it. You can have it this morning if you'll be willing to bow the knee, turn your heart to the Lord and say, God, my sins have separated me from you. I want to turn my heart back to you, and I don't want to go down this path anymore. God, would you help me to turn my heart to you in this sense? And then, God, would you quicken me? Would you teach me? Would you lead me? Would you rescue me? Would you save me from this? And that flicker of fire, God will do it in me. I know it works because God did it in me. And I know he can do it in you. He's closer than you realize. He is closer than you realize. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, as we consider the lesson, feel that this is something that we all need to be reminded of, encouraged about, probably regularly, just as humans, as sinners, as people who struggle, we have our ups and our down times. Lord, this is a lesson that reminds us that you're closer than I think sometimes we realize. You feel quiet, you feel separated, you feel far away, but you're right there. I pray you'd help us to identify the sins and help us to turn our heart to you. And Lord, if it's maybe we haven't heard your voice, but we don't know about a sin either, would you help us to be patient and to turn our heart, our attention to you once again, understanding that revival comes from you. It can only come from you. Quickening can only come from you. So I pray that your work would be done in your people. And Lord, for the lost today, those that need to be saved, I pray you'd bring a conviction. Help them to trust your work today as they, and we trust that they'll be touched by your Spirit. I pray that maybe sometime, rather today, somebody will come to the altar and to get saved. And we'll give you glory for that. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.